This podcast is a ministry of Oriole Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.oriolechristianassembly.org.
I want to start out with a little bit about church order, okay? I'm going to kind of be hopping around. I know they're ready to give you the scriptures on the screen, but you can, you know, kind of follow with me. But I want to first touch a little bit about church order, and then that'll lead me into accountability, because they work hand in hand today, okay? How many know that when you go to work, there's an order? Amen? That there's, you know, everybody has a position, a job title, and there's people who are over you, you know, as bosses and managers. You can use all different kinds of terminology. Then there's, you know, those who are managers, they have people over them who are higher up. I mean, even in the world today, we can see it in the secular world, in the corporate world, just the way life needs to be, there has to be an order to everything we do. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Otherwise, what happens? Mass confusion, right? And like we shared last week, when there's confusion, the devil's there. Because that's what he tries to do. He tries to bring in confusion. He tries to confuse us. But we serve a God of order. Amen? I mean, this topic could really, I could go into for many weeks. I don't think we need to do that. But in the whole scriptures, you see order. In the churches that we read about, there was order. Okay, so what I'm going to share today is nothing different than what the church, you know, down the block should be sharing. Because there has to be an order in everything that we do so that we can flow together in unity. You know, I want you to understand this. As we are in more order, there's going to be more unity in the church. That was a good place for an amen. Praise God. I can see I'm going to be pulling them out of you again today. But when there's order and everybody knows their place and there's no misunderstanding of what is expected of you, you know what? God blesses that. Amen? And we flow together. And the Lord shows up and miracles happens and good things are going to happen here. But when we don't know our place or don't understand some things of order, that's when problems can happen. Okay? So it's a very important subject that we look into as far as our church and any church, okay? My first scripture is a real good one. It's from 1 Corinthians 14:40. 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says this, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Okay? I'm going to say that again to you. And he was writing here, Paul, to the Corinthian church because the Corinthians, they had a lot of miscommunications and misfunctions, and Paul had to go to that church and bring a lot of order. But again, this is for the church of Jesus on the whole today. But he says, let all things, everything you do, be done decently, okay, and in order. All right, that's foundational today. That's foundational truth that we must have in our church and in our lives. I mean, what I talked to you about our church as a whole, we could break it down to individuals today. That God wants order in our lives, okay? He wants us to do things decently. I like to say it this way. When we do things, I like to do them with excellence. Amen? You know, with all that we have, all right? Friday night, I believe what happened there was done with excellence. Okay, I just popped in for a minute because I had to bring in some equipment for my wife. And it was a beautiful place. Everybody was dressed beautiful. There was a program. There was an order to what was going to happen, you know. And because of that, it was a blessing. Amen, ladies? Praise God. I know many of you are there. Okay, so God really enforces that in the Word, that we are to be that way. We need to have an order in all the things that we do. Church order must be established, okay? And it has to start from the top. I mean, there must be order from the top. Let me ask you today, if you had a pastor that didn't have any kind of order, you know, sometimes he showed up Sometimes he didn't. Depends how he felt that day. You know, that's a pretty broad example to you, but I'm just trying to bring you the understanding of how we're expected things of one another. Amen. And if I'm your pastor, you expect a lot from me. Right? I know you do. You didn't say amen, but I know you do. Okay? It's just the way it is. All right? And that's rightfully so. For me to be in this position, I carry a lot of responsibility today. Okay? And I know that. I don't take that lightly. If I did, I wouldn't even be here. Okay? I've been in the ministry a long time. I understand the role of the pastor. But not just that, I understand the role of leaders that are under the pastor. I understand the role of the members and of everybody. Okay? Again, this is a team here. Amen? We're one big happy family. Can I get an amen? And everybody needs to know their place. Okay? It's very important. So we all have roles. We all have positions that we play. And together, you know, if you were here for the Italian Bible study last month, Brother Frank, that's what he talked about. How many were there for that night? I know some of you were there. He talked about how in the body of Christ, some of us are a hand, some of us are a foot, some a leg, right? We all have a part, and together, as we work together, everyone knowing their place and working together, you know what? There's unity. Praise God. And God blesses that. All right? It's very, very powerful when we understand how important church order is and that we flow with it. Another scripture for you is Titus 1:5, the beginning of that verse, Titus 1:5a. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are so," or the things that are. So here in this book, we see how Paul was dealing with Titus, and Titus was being sent to go and put things in order in the church. Okay? And you know what? As your pastor and as leadership that we have here, that's our job to make sure that we have order, that we're all working together, you know, that we're all doing what we need to do, and because God blesses that. So Titus here, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete." Paul was telling Titus, because you have a job to do. You need to set things in order, okay, that are needed to be done, that are wanting, all right? That's important. When I talk about church order, another word that I can use today is protocol. Have you ever heard that word? If you're working in the secular world, you probably hear it maybe more than in the church, but that word really fits, proper protocol. All right. I looked that word up in the dictionary, and what it means is having guidelines or regulations that we follow, okay? Or another good word is etiquette. That we walk in etiquette, meaning we walk in respect one with another, that we work with one another, you know, nobody tries to step on anybody else. I mean, it's etiquette. We walk in etiquette. I don't know how many bowlers we have here. I know Carlos is a bowler because I talk to him and he tells me. But in bowling, when you're in the league, I want to have a church league eventually. It's one of my visions. But in my league that I bowl in, it's a men's league. But we have what we call bowling etiquette. And I know Carlos knows what I'm going to talk about here. When you go up to bowl, because we have people bowling in the whole place who are bowling in leagues, you are not to bowl if that one next to you is ready to bowl. Or the one after that. You're supposed to go at least one or two lanes over. When they go and bowl, then you go up and bowl. That's called etiquette. Meaning, you wait for the other person to do what they're supposed to do, then you do it. How many know what I'm talking about today? Etiquette, okay? Proper protocol. Meaning, we have a way of doing things that are proper. That's what order is, okay? It's very important, here. Now, some other scriptures that I can bring you as examples even about order. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1, and the same verse is also in Isaiah 38:1. So I'm just gonna turn to Isaiah, but it's in both places, and it's the identical same verse, which is interesting. You don't find that too often, but I'm gonna read it from Isaiah 38:1. This is an interesting verse here. It talks about King Hezekiah. And it says in Isaiah is the one I'm reading, but they're both the same, so it don't matter. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, O Lord, for thou shalt die and not live. So here the prophet goes to the king here, Hezekiah was king of Judah, and he says to him, you know what? You're about to die, and it's time for you to get your house in order. That's a pretty important thing that happened, right? I mean, if you had an angel of the Lord come and wake you up and say, you know what, you better get your house in order because, you know, your days are numbered, that would wake you up, wouldn't it? Well, I'm sure it did that with Hezekiah here. Got his attention, you know. And we don't have time to go into the whole story, but he sought the Lord concerning this, because I believe when he said this to Hezekiah, he was saying, you know what, if I'm telling you your time is up and you're about to go, you need to make sure your house is in order when you leave. Amen? And that applies to all of our individual houses. It applies to the house of God. But Hezekiah sought the Lord and said, you know what, Lord, I've done what you've told me to do, this and that, dealing with the kingdom. And you know what? Because of Hezekiah seeking the Lord, he was able to live then 15 years more. You know the story, right? Because he sought God and the Lord heard him, okay? But he said, you know what? You need to make sure your house is in order. We need to, you know, our families. We got to make sure we're doing the things that are before the Lord that are right. He wants our lives to be in order. He wants our families to walk in order. And, of course, He wants our church to do the same. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 50. This is another good example about order. Psalm 50. I'm kind of going through these quickly because I got different ones I'm going to give you as we talk about this for a little bit today. And really, this kind of message I enjoy to give because it's so important, you know, and it really makes sense when we look at our whole, you know, foundation, what we're based on. But in Psalm 50 here, we want to read a few verses, 19 to 21. And in here we see about order again and how we see different things were happening in this chapter. There was dealing with people who had evil speech, who had backbiting, slander, and because of that, the Lord said that we were to do something here. So let's read this. It says in verse 19 of chapter 50, it says, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, and thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes. All right, so we see here that when we see things like this happening, we're not walking in order. When we're using our mouth to do any kind of speaking of evil or our tongue to speak any kind of deceit, all right? He says different things here, any kind of backbiting or whatever. He says, you know what? I'm not going to be one like that, but I'm going to reprove you. Take that as of the Lord speaking here. And I'm going to set those people in order before your eyes who are doing this. So when we allow this type of thing to happen, we're out of order. That's, you know, pretty simple and plain. I think we know that. And he says, you know what? We need to bring order, divine order or reproof when these things happen, because these are not for the betterment of our families or of our church, so on and so forth. Okay? Another example of of order in the Bible. Now, when you talk about order, you could also talk about justice. Just think about our world today that we live, right? If we had no laws or regulation, it'd be wild out there, wouldn't it? People be driving 100 miles an hour, right? If we didn't have a regulation that said 55 is the speed limit on the expressway, right? You know, I've been to Italy a couple times, and there's places in Italy, I don't know if it's changed because I haven't been to Italy for a while. I hope to go back real soon. But in Italy, there was places that had no speed limit. How many know what I'm talking about? The Italian people know. I mean, so you could drive as fast as you wanted. That could be pretty wild, amen? That could be dangerous, right? So when there's laws or regulations, when there has to be justice, that's a safety today, okay? It's for our good, you know? But unfortunately, a lot of people that are in the world, they don't like to be governed. How many know what I'm talking about? They like to do their own thing, amen? Who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to drive? You know, what do you mean I got to have a curfew? I got to come in by a certain time? You know, young people don't like to be governed, right? So God in His Word places order, justice, rules or guidelines. You know, I like guidelines. That's a good word that we like to use here, you know, as far as the way we do things. Because when we have that order, again, God blesses that because that's the type of God we serve, a God of order. He doesn't let things get out of hand and do, you know, whatever you want. Nobody can do whatever they want. How many know that today? Everybody is accountable to God. Amen? I mean, that's first and foremost of all. I am, and I'm going to read you the scriptures in a moment, but as your pastor, you know what? I'm accountable to God for you. Do you know that today? I am. So that's again a very important, responsible position as a pastor because God looks to me how you are today. You know, so if I see things that are not good or things that need to be corrected, God looks to me to bring that out to you so that we can be better. Amen? And we can learn from situations because your souls have been made accountable to me, to God. So that's a very important and responsible thing that we know that today. But in the same way, you in your individual self, you are accountable to God yourself, you know, for what you do. And God looks to you. And we're going to read that here in a moment. Another scripture that I want to bring to you quickly is Romans 13:7. No, they'll put it up on the board, on the screen for us. But in Romans 13:7, this talks about, again, duties of citizenship. All right? Duties that we have as a citizen today. We can relate to that as well as in the kingdom of God. In this verse it says, render therefore to all their dues. How many know we have dues that we pay or taxes? This is probably the better word now. It used to be called maybe dues in times past. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, right? Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. All right, so even in the Word, and there's other scriptures dealing with our duties as citizenship, we need to honor those that are in places of authority, positions of authority. Our government, we're to honor them, right? Our president, we're to honor our president. How many know when a president goes somewhere and he visits someplace? I mean, when he comes in, everybody is like in honor of him. Amen? They have such a respect, and it should be that way. The president of the United States, that's a very important position. Amen? And we should honor that man, or, you know, it could be that woman, whatever, because they hold so much responsibility. So even in our world, we see how God has told us that we need to give tribute to whom tribute is due. All right, pay our taxes is what He's saying. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day, you know how they always tried to trick Jesus, right? And even with the tax money and so forth. But Jesus was always on top of all that, and He always told them, you know what? Give unto Caesar what Caesar is due, right? What He was saying is, pay your taxes. Do what you're supposed to do. You know, don't be different. Don't stand out. You know, don't go against the system, because there has to be order in the world system as well as in the kingdom of God. Our duties as citizens, okay? How about the duty of someone who's in a place of authority? They have a responsibility too, right? Because when you are in that place of responsibility, in the Bible, some of the places we read in Colossians 4:1, it talks about masters, but it really means those who are in places of authority, who are over people. If we read that scripture in Colossians 4:1, it says this: "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Amen? So, you know, we're getting, again, instruction here. And I can relate to this because I'm a manager in my secular job. Okay? I have 5 people that work under me. And as their boss or manager, you know what? I should be fair to all of them. I should be just and equal. I should not favor one more than the other. You know, and that sometimes, you know, you have to be careful that you don't let that happen. Because, you know, you tend to just always like certain people more than others. But we need to be fair, okay? And as a person, as a manager, a place of, you have some authority in your job, that's your responsibility to make sure that you're being fair with all your workers there, okay? So not only those who are under management must make sure that they're in order, but those who are in management must walk in order even more, right? Because how many know if there's no order on top, there's going to be no order on the bottom or in the middle or anywhere? Amen? I mean, how many times have you seen on the news in the last couple of years about corporations and big CEO presidents who were scamming profits and were making millions of dollars off of different stocks and so forth because they were doing things, what? Out of order. But how many know that eventually it's going to catch up to you? Right? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. All right? Eventually it's going to show up. So we all have our places that we are in, but again, every place that God has put us in, we have to walk in order and in justice. It's very important today. Okay? One more scripture dealing with order is in Psalm 37, verse 37. Okay, that's an easy one to remember. Psalm 37, 37 says this: "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." I'm going to read that again to you today. It says, "Mark the perfect man." Another word for perfect here is blameless. Okay? The Lord says, you know what? I'm looking, and you need to be look for someone, mark someone who's blameless or perfect before you. Behold that person who is upright, because that person is going to have peace. Amen? And that's what we want today. Amen? I want peace in my life. How about you? Amen? And God is saying, I'm looking for that one who will be perfect before me, or who will be blameless before me. I'm marking that person. God, and you know what? God is looking for every one of us in this place today to be that one. Don't you want to be that one today? Amen? To be blameless before the Lord, have a genuine heart before the Lord, right? I mean, that's what God looks to, the heart, okay? God is looking at us, every one of us, 24/7. How many know God doesn't sleep or slumber today? Amen? We do, but He doesn't. Amen? Just think, if you didn't, you know, get your sleep for a couple nights, you'd be a mess. Amen? We need our rest because we're human today. So God looks for that one who is perfect before Him. That should be every one of our desires today, that I want to be that one, Lord. I want to walk as that blameless woman or man before You. And I want to be upright before You. Okay? For that end of that man is peace. That's really important today. Praise God. That's a little bit about order today. Just some basics. Okay? Now, as we talk about that, Order's here, and then the word that I said I want to talk about also is accountability. What does that mean? I want to make sure we understand what accountability means today. It's very important in our church, as well as in your workplace, at home. Again, these messages, they relate to our whole life. It's not only church life that we're talking about here, because you can relate it and you can bring it to all phases of your life as we talk about these things today. But I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 13. And I read this, I know you know this scripture, this has to do with pastors and leaders. But let me just bring it again to you quickly here. Hebrews 13, 17. And then we're going to read this also from the Amplified, because this is really, I like the way it breaks it down. Because we need to have an understanding what this is saying and work with that, okay? In verse 17 it says, this is the King James first, then I'll read it from the Amplified. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, there's that word, account, okay, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let me read it from the Amplified, because it really opens it up more. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Remember what I was saying to you earlier. Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning, for that would be unprofitable to you either. Okay? So, God has placed pastors, you know, you have the fivefold, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, you know, that's the fivefold, the hand of God. We've talked about that. Places of leadership, God has placed them, men or women, okay? There's no difference. God uses both. All right? Some churches don't believe that today. I don't know if you know that. Some don't believe there should be women pastors. Do you know that? Some don't believe that, okay? But in the Scripture, we see how God has used both men and women. So we're not biased here, okay? But he says here that as leaders in the church, you are to flow with your leadership, be obedient, submit to them, because why? They watch for your souls, because they have to give an account to God for you. All right. Now, as we talk about accountability, how does that mean? What do you mean with that, Pastor Rich? Because it said about an account here. Well, just like you're supposed to be accountable to your leaders, we're accountable to God. But that word accountable, let me break it down a little bit to you, what it means. To be accountable means to be subject to the obligation to report. All right? Or another word is just to be responsible to someone else. Okay? So when you're accountable to someone else, and again, I'm going to use my job at work because it makes sense, and then I'll bring it here as the church. At work, I have five people who are accountable to me. Right? They work under me. So every day, if they don't come in the office, they got to call me and say, Rich, this is my business report. This is what I did yesterday. This is how many people I went to see. It says here, when you're accountable to someone, you have to report to them. How many understand what I'm talking about, right? That's what accountability means. When you are under headship of somebody, it could be at work or here. With your pastor, you're accountable to your pastor. Okay? Now, let me make this point. At work, those five report to me, but you know what? I have somebody that's over me too. That's the district manager. And anytime he wants to, he can bypass me and go right to those people because he has even a higher authority than I do. How many know what I'm talking about? But in respect, he knows that this is my staff. Usually, if he sees something wrong or somebody's not doing something right, You know who he comes to? Me. And he says, Rich, you got to talk to so-and-so because they're not doing their job right. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, he doesn't have to do that. He can not even talk to me and go right to that person, and that's his decision because he's a higher authority. But again, what am I saying? There's accountability and there's order in the way we do things even at work. Well, here, even at church, it's the same way. Now, as your pastor, I'm responsible for all of you. If anything goes wrong or things are not the way they should be, whatever, who's going to take the blame? The pastor. It may not be his fault, but I'm accountable. Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's going to come down to me, all right? Because I'm the one that God has called here to make sure that things are right here. So, the accountability. Now, in that same way, so we get an understanding, and I know you know this, but I want to make it real clear today so we will avoid things in the future, okay? As your pastor, we have now people that we've placed at this time, doesn't mean that it's not going to change, who are in places of leadership here. Because how many know the pastor can't do everything? I should have got a lot of amens because I need help. We have people that are in places of ministry, okay? And some of them who have a place of authority also, that I have said, you know what? You are my praise and worship leader. All right? That happens to be Rose, okay? She knows if she has to make sure everything is right for Sunday, but you know what? She works with those that are in the praise and worship team. Anna plays a big part because she actually works with Rose for what we do here on Sundays. Wednesdays is a little different, but in the end, Rose is accountable for what happens. If something's not right, I'm going to go to Rose first. I'm trying to make it clear here so we understand. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? And if I see something I don't like or we're not doing in a praise and worship, I'm not going to call the whole praise and worship team and say, you know, this, I can do that, all right? But normally, you go to the one you've put in charge and say, I think we need to do this a little different. And then that person goes and brings it to the group, okay? So that's how we talk about protocol, you know, and that's how we have to work one with another. And there's other positions. I just mentioned one. Frank is the head usher, all right? So the other ushers work with Frank, but again, if Frank is responsible for all the ushers, because I can't do all that. Can I get an amen? All right, so again, if something's not, we're not doing with the ushers, I'll first go to Frank and try to see if he can take care of it. But then again, there might be times, which we did last month, we had an ushers meeting, and I had to talk to all the ushers. We did it, how? We did it in order. Okay, now, so when we do that, there's a way of doing things, and you know what? When that happens, we don't have miscommunications, which sometimes happen. All right? So when you're in a ministry, know that you're accountable to whoever God has placed to lead that ministry. All right? But then again, also know that, you know, those people are under the pastor. So they're an offshoot of the leadership that is in place. So we have to make sure that we're working and we report to one another. That's not a bad thing. I got to say this to you. In all my years serving the Lord, which are now 27 years, God saw in my heart from day one when I got saved that I wanted to serve. Okay? That's all it was about. You know, so I didn't care. When my pastor needed help, I was there. If it meant we were going to clean the bathrooms, I cleaned the bathroom sometimes. Okay? Why? Because you have a servant's heart. You know, but the pastor saw that Rich, you know what? He really loves God and he just wants to serve God. And because of that, I became elevated. I got promoted in church. I wanted to teach, you know. I had a heart to teach. I loved the children. I was a youth pastor. Choir, you name it. I've done all those things. Why? Because I had a servant's heart. And you know what? I had five pastors over me. All right? And I never had a problem with my pastor. Why? because I submitted to my pastor. What does that mean? I was responsible to him. If the Lord put him here, he's the boss. I want to listen to him. Does it mean I always agreed with him? No. We're human here, right? But I still needed to submit. Amen? And if I didn't understand something and I wanted an understanding, what did I do? I went and talked to the pastor. Amen? So I got an understanding. Hallelujah. So there would be no confusion. So I wouldn't get offended or no one else got offended, right? Because this is the work of God. We don't have time to let that happen. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You're getting real quiet on me, but this is good. All right? This is what we talk about protocol. When we talk about accountability. Okay? We need it. Not just to the pastor, but to those that the pastor places as part of leadership. All right, and what does it boil down to today is that we respect one another, really. Amen? I mean, it's simple. We don't need to make it hard. It's really not hard, okay? We can make it hard if we don't respect one another. Then it's going to be very difficult. But we all are gifted here. We all have talents, and we want everybody to use them, but in order, okay? It has to be done in order. It has to be that we work one another the right way. Otherwise, then, you know, things happen and then we have to resolve them. And again, why there's order? Because then there's communication. When we don't have the communication, that's when things go out of whack. And then I got to step in. You know, really. When I see things going out of whack, when I've placed other people in leadership and maybe it's not going good, you know what? As your pastor, I have the right to come in there and try to resolve it. And that's my job. Okay? And I'll do that. But I don't want to have to do that. When I place somebody in leadership, it's because I trust them to do the job. And I need you to trust them too and respect them like I do. And we work together. Alright? So again, that's part a little bit about accountability, being subject to reporting to one another, being responsible to one another. It's not a difficult thing if we respect each other and love one another like we're supposed to. Now, God looks to us in the same way in our individual walk. He looks to us the same way. And I'm going to read these real quick because of time. It says in Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account." There it is again. "An account thereof in the day of judgment." God is watching all of us. Amen? Every one of us. One day, every one of us will stand before God and we have to give an account for everything we said. We need to be careful, right? That we are saying the right things because God looks to us to be responsible as His people. In Luke 12:48b, it says this, and this is an important scripture. "For unto whomsoever much is given," now you got to hear this, "of him shall be much required." Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. "And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So God says, you know what? If I've given you much, you have learned much of me, you have much wisdom and knowledge, because you have that, God requires more of you than the person who don't know much. And that comes with growth, okay, with maturity. I said this before. There's many of us here who are seasoned Christians, been here for years, mature. So, you know what, as your pastor, I expect more from you than I do the people who are just coming here. Rightfully so, amen? Because you've been here. You know how it's supposed to be. You may not know everything. All of us are learning. I understand that. But I expect more from the mature, seasoned Christians. Oh, it's getting quiet. All right, let me move on here. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us should give an account of himself to God." Every one of us. All right? No one escapes that today. 1 Peter 5:5. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. I'm just going to read it from there because of time's sake. Because we got communion here. Somebody getting anything today? Is this hitting home? Amen? It's quiet. Praise God. I know. Hopefully after communion you'll love me again today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is 1 Peter 5:5. It says, Likewise, this is the Amplified. You that are younger and of a lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe or apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. Oh, it's a great verse. If we would just do this all the time, never have a problem. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. But listen to this. He gives favor, or he gives grace, which is favor and blessing, to the humble. So, rightfully so, you know what? Those who are younger, it says here, the younger, the less a rank, they should be subject to the elders. That's just normal. I mean, that's how it is in your family. It's not anything different in the church, okay? Those who've been around the corner a few times, they got more experience. They should know better, right? Amen? And we have that here. So we're blessed that we have that here. Being subject one with another in humility. And my last verse before we have communion here is in Matthew 18. I want you to turn there with me. This is church discipline, what I'm going to give you right now. Matthew 18. You've probably heard this before, at least I hope so, from other pastors. I don't think what I'm giving you today is new. This has been around a long time. But in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, it talks about when we have some confusion or we get hurt one with another. How do we handle it? What do we do? Let's read it, okay? Verse 15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him, or her, his fault between thee and him alone." Okay? That's number one, what we're supposed to do. "If he shall not hear thee, thou..." Oh, he said, let me say that again. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." All right? So if someone ever says something to you that you feel offended or does something, what are you supposed to do? Go tell that person. Don't tell everybody else but that person. Go to that person first, okay? Now, if he listens and understands and you have forgiveness, the problem is over. Amen? That quick. But if it doesn't happen that way, it tells us what to do. Verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Right? So if you go and that person doesn't understand and you're not getting through, take one or two other people, maybe a leader in the church, someone who has some rank, someone who has some understanding that can try to help you both get this resolved. Right? That's what he's saying here. Now, look at what he says in the next verse. Because if it still don't work out, because sometimes it doesn't, unfortunately. In verse 18, or 17, he says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them," this is the second time now, "tell it unto the church." Right? Go to your pastor. You know, don't wait for the pastor to be the last one sometimes. Sometimes I'm the last one to find out about things. Don't look at me like you know that's not true. It's true. Wednesday night I found out something about the banquet that was not supposed to happen. And you know what? It was happening and I didn't know about it. And it was wrong. I was the last one to find out. It happens, all right? But you're supposed to go to the church, or you can break that down to those in leadership. But if you neglect to hear the church or the leadership of the church, let him be unto him as a heathen man and a publican. So what it's saying is, you know what? If then you finally go to the pastor and the leadership and you can't resolve this, you know what? Then something's going to have to change, right? Someone might have to leave. And we don't want that. Never do we want anybody to leave. No one should ever have to leave from the church because they're offended. I believe that today. Amen? I've been in ministry a long time, been in leadership a long time, and people in our previous church, any church you attend, people leave all the time because they don't communicate, they don't resolve things the right way, and it don't have to be that way, church. Can I get an amen? It's too quiet here. Praise God. God wants us to resolve things. Amen? Let me say this to you. When we left our church of 24 years, now you don't hear a lot of people say that nowadays. I've been faithful to one church for 24 years, okay? That was me and my wife. When we left, and before that, people betrayed us. Let me say this to you. People we thought were for us, we found out later weren't, okay? All kinds of things. And you know what? I could have left different times. My wife, she wanted to leave, all right? I don't need to go into the whole story, things that happened, but you know what? God would not allow me to leave because He wanted me to leave in the right way, okay? Now, after things happened, I'm not going to go into all the situation, but when there was a change in pastor and different things happened, most people would have left after that, where we were at. But you know what? The Lord would not let me leave. We stayed 5 more years. We were not going to leave with any ought, all right? Where people would never welcome us there if we want to go back there. I can go back to our former church. People respect us. Pastor Rich, all right? You know, Pilar, they know us. We were there for years. And I would, you know, I saw too many people come and leave in the wrong way. And I told the Lord, that ain't going to happen when I leave, if I ever leave. If it was up to me, I would have probably left there, because I don't believe in church hopping today. Amen? All right? So when we let things happen and people come and go and leave, you know what? The devil laughs at us. Because that's what he tries to do. He tries to divide the church. Do you know today most people, when they leave one church and go to another, it's because, not that God's telling them to leave, it's because they're offended. Or they don't like what the pastor said. Or somebody did something to them. I'm being honest with you today, church. When you see churches grow, it's not because new people are coming, it's because people left from that church and now they're over here. We're not winning. Amen? I don't want people to come here from other churches unless God tells them to come here. Amen? I don't believe in snatching church people from other churches to come here. I don't believe that. Now, if God tells you to come here and you leave your church in the right way, fine, you're welcome here. But beyond that, we need to reach new souls. Amen? Right? We want new souls today. I don't want flock from all the other churches around me. Because what's going to happen? They're going to come here with their baggage. I'm being honest with you. They're going to come, the problems they did not resolve at the church they were, what do you think they're going to do with them? They're going to bring them to Oreo. Boy, it's getting real quiet here. It's the truth, church, okay? So God wants order. God doesn't want people coming and going. God wants you to find a place where you know you're comfortable and you're getting the Word of God and this is home. And He wants you to stay there and work with the people and make a difference. Make a difference. Amen. I know we're making a difference here. Amen. And we have not seen anything yet. Amen. Friday night, we made a difference in some people's lives. I mean, there was 80 people there, and I'm proud of the women's ministry and what took place there. It took teamwork, all right? Yeah, there were some ruffles there and some things we had to work out, but we worked them out. Amen? Who says we can't? If you're willing, anything can be worked out. The key is, are you willing today? Amen? Praise God. God is willing. We must be willing. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.